going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sound the beginning of that song is a kiss on the lips, or do you think that's just the guitar screeching?
I think that's Belichick and his girlfriend, exactly what that is, after that interview on, what was that, 60 Minutes last night? Wherever he saw that, that's what I'm like. I'm like, that's Belichick right there.
CBS Sunday Morning.
CBS Sunday Morning, that's right. That's what it was. CBS Sunday Morning and 60 Minutes on the same network later on that evening. But yeah, that's kind of what that reminded me of. So
right after
Monday, everybody.
Right after the draft, you got... deep dive into the relationship of Bill and Jordan. We're not talking about that.
Yeah, which is very bizarre. I mean, like, just tell people how you met. Don't you think people want to know? Like, I mean, I think the inquiring minds do. That's the way we operate as human beings. 74-year-old guy with a 24-year-old girl. How'd y'all meet? We're not discussing that. Who asked you?
I just never know, like, what relationships are okay to talk about and what aren't, right? Like, we talked about Travis Hunter's ordeal, and that was like, why does everybody care about who that man dates? Okay, fine. And then we have an interview with probably one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time, and we're okay to talk about this relationship. And I just, there's no line in the sand of where, like, it exists. It's like the seventh inning batter's box at this point. Like, everybody's gone up there and kicked the line apart. It's chewed up. You're like, oh, I guess there is a batting box there somewhere. But no, that was interesting. We'll get into that, obviously.
But I think any relationship, like if you're out there as a famous person, so to speak, and you're especially if you're sitting down and doing interviews like this, like you, Bill Belichick didn't have to do that interview on CBS this morning, right? People think, oh, he didn't have to do that. He agreed.
He was doing the interview.
I didn't either until I saw the highlight and the shirt. did he know he was doing the interview? I mean, who sits down like that for any interview looking like a slob? Like
Bill.
Yeah, but like you're at a different point now in your life, though, Bill. Like, you're no longer Bill Belichick, the world-class football coach for the New England Patriots. You're Bill Belichick, the head football coach at North Carolina, that's starting a new thing in life, right? Like, you have to go out there and prove yourself again to, you know, that audience, if you will, right? Like, if you were to go get a job somewhere else, and I've done this before, they don't care what you did in a different town. You got to go there and you got to prove yourself to that current organization that you're in. And Bill Belichick hasn't done anything as a college coach. He could turn out to be a total disaster down there at North Carolina. And they'll look at Bill Belichick and they'll go, that guy stunk. Where New England people look at him and go, that guy was amazing. And so you're trying to have this new image. I would imagine you got a young girlfriend right now. You're coaching at the collegiate level. How about wearing a shirt, A, with your school on it, not, you know, the school you wanted to go to growing up as a kid, and one without a hole in it, like and without like the neck all ripped out of that thing. Like, how about just dress like appropriately or represent your university on there? You came in and you look like a total slob in that interview.
Was his dad a coach at Navy?
They grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, and so there was the connection. I can't remember if his dad was. I think his dad was at the Naval Academy and was a coach there. But even still, Dusty, we're talking 50 years ago. You're now the coach at North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Put on a North Carolina shirt. Let people know. A lot of people are watching that interview that probably have never thought about Bill Belichick before, right? Because it's not all sports people. And you're trying to set an image for yourself, and that's what came out with that image. Like, I just thought that interview by him was, first of all, it was bizarre. Second of all, I don't know why they did it. And third of all, her in the background going, we're not talking about this kind of stuff, man. That's got to go.
What's his muse?
Is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson his creative muse, as he writes in his book?
Make sure that that's the...
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
No. No. I don't know. Red flag.
Huge red flag.
Multiple red flags.
A lot of red flags, yes. Not just her saying we're not talking about this, but, you know, kind of everything else that's gone on. She's there every step of the way with this guy.
Yeah, and, like, it was kind of weird, like, seeing how that whole thing was, like, set up at the interview, and, like, they show her, like, standing next to him, and he's, like, he says in that clip, now, the interview that you need to watch, if you want to watch it in its entirety, it's, like, 8 minutes.
Yep.
And the whole time, like, maybe it's the way that they set it up. Maybe it's the way they're trying to, like, propaganda it. But it seems like, it almost seems like she's his caretaker.
Yes, like exactly. Yes.
She's constantly there, like, next to the chair. Then they, like, show her off the set, like, sitting at, like, the production desk where they have, like, the cameras and the different angles. And then they're, like, you can see him, like, look over at her, like, at questions. And, like, is it okay if I answer it this way? And it's, like, I get into the point of, like, being a, you know, radio host, where I'm like, dude, you're Bill Belichick. Like, she's 24, you're 77, 74, whatever it
right.
is. And it's like, I don't think at this point, like, you have to have her approval to answer a question, because for one, if you do, what's going on? Two, like, I get it. Some people's relationships are private. Like, I don't need to know, like, you know, not everybody needs to know, like, where Mac and his fiance met or where they, you know, whatever. But also, like, the other side of it, which is the theory that a lot of people could have, is like, maybe they know exactly what the hell they're doing. Like, the more you show and the less you tell, the more attractive it can become, right? Like, if we knew that Travis and Taylor were hanging out, we had to get details. Like, everyone's like, yeah, the Chiefs won today. It's like, yeah, but, like, are they officially together? Like, how'd they meet? What's the story? And it was one of the entire podcast episodes of New Heights.
Mm-hmm.
and it was Hollywood, and it was entertaining, and it was superstardom. And now it's like, in the wild, wild world that we live in with availability to everybody's lives and media, it's like Bill Belichick, that guy, that Patriots guy, is dating this girl, and now they're doing a CBS morning interview on Sunday, and it's like, there's all these little nuggets that come out of like, we're not talking about this, she's here, she's his muse, whatever, I don't know. And then now all of a sudden, everybody the next day, like here we are Monday morning, there was an NFL draft, there was a historic slide of a famous kid that everyone knows because of his dad, and Monday morning, Bill Belichick, Jordan.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, right. And her name's Jordan, he coaches at North Carolina.
Weird.
I didn't even think about that like just now. It just hit me like, oh my God, her name's Jordan.
Last week how she's on the field.
Yes.
Getting emails of everything, like in depth with the roster, like right. Information of players. She's out there handing out, like Max said, like the quarterback sleeve sheets, like, hey, we're running these today. And it's like, what's going on here? Like something doesn't add up. And so like, you know, when you hear about like, you know, red flags in relationships, like your best friend comes over to your house, he's got a new girlfriend, you're excited to meet her, and everything's exciting, and then all of a sudden it feels like the life has been sucked out of your best friend. You're like, there's something not right here.
Right.
Like, is she changing you? Like, you didn't used to be, like, let's say, for instance, I come over to your house, I'm dating a girl, and all of a sudden, like, I'm very quiet, and I'm very, like, I'm always polite, but I'm more like, after you folks, go ahead. And you're just like, you know, before I leave, you know, you pull me by the arm, you're like, you all right?
Yeah,
like,
right, yeah.
You seemed a little off. You're like, no, everything's fine. And then when I shut that door, you look right at Jen, you go, something's off.
Yeah.
And
oh,
that's
yeah.
What this whole thing kind of feels like.
Well, women change, guys. It happens,
sometimes
right?
Like, for the
like,
better.
Like sometimes for the better, yeah. But sometimes when you're dating a girl, you do things because you really like that girl. And so right. Maybe you change some of your personalities. I think every single guy has been in a relationship where they were dating somebody and they started to do things more like her because they really liked her. And your friends are like, well, hang on a second here. This ain't you.
Wheatgrass gets a bad rap. You should try
right,
it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're walking around drinking wheatgrass shakes and you're like, yeah, hey, look at us. You know, like the right. People on National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, you know, right. I don't know, Margo. Like you're acting like that. You're like, all right, that ain't you.
Yeah.
And that kind of seems like what's going on with Bill Belichick right now. Like it just doesn't seem like the same guy that was coaching the New England Patriots. He's trying to get off this different image and doing so. It just, I think it's very cringe right now.
Right.
It really is. The whole thing is very cringe to watch the way that she is kind of interacting with the football team or his place of business. It doesn't have to even be a football team.
And just life.
Yeah. Life and place of business. Dude. I mean, like we're not talking about that yet. And then, you know, like him fishing on the beach with her and them talking about that. That was really cringe in that interview as well. Like looking at Bill Belichick trying to figure out how to answer that he was using her up in the air on his feet. Like she was on the Titanic, and then he was in that fishing outfit fishing for her. Like his wheels are spinning going, am I really doing the right thing? Maybe I don't know, but again, just a total cringe interview, I think, all the way around, from the way that he was dressed, the way that she kind of controlled the narrative. And at the end of the day, we really didn't get anything out of that interview.
We got a lot. We found out that maybe she's very controlling, and Bill Belichick's just like, you know what, my life's been fun. I'm just going to let her take control of it. It's like, hey, if that's what you want to do, then do you, man.
Yeah. We did find out he really doesn't like Robert Kraft, though. I mean, this Robert Kraft's not in the book. No, he's not.
No. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. He's not even in the acknowledgement section.
No. Nothing. But she is. She's chapter 1 through 9.
This man won 6 Super Bowls, turned a franchise around that was close to moving to St. Louis at one point, had 24 years with this guy up in New England, and he didn't even mention him in his book. Not even his name doesn't even appear in that man's book.
Mm.
Why did you get fired? It was a mutual decision. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it was not. We're going to move in a different direction. Okay, fine. I accept. That's a mutual decision. That's how that goes down.
Yeah.
Not a mention of Bob Kraft.
None. Sorry, Bobby. Also, couldn't even be mentioned during the roast of Tom Brady. He was told as he is off limits.
Yeah.
Some people didn't listen. But yeah, no, it was an interesting weekend from everything. From the draft to Shador to Bill Belichick. The Royals are on fire. Their pitching staff is great.
Woo.
Bobby Witt Jr. seems to be able to get a hit every game. He's only, 37 behind Joe? So we're almost there?
Almost there. We're getting there, man. We're getting close.
19, you got to start being serious about 19.
Yeah, 19's pretty big. I think once you hit that 20 number, people start going, all right, now he's into the 20s. But, I mean, 56 is a pretty big number to get to,
huge.
Right? Yeah, it's a pretty big number to get to.
Well, not get reached, but it's like,
It's a third of the season.
Yeah, like how far can he go? Like at least there's that. Like
yesterday looked a little rough. His at bats, except for the big hit yesterday, obviously inside the third base bag, but he looked lost at the plate for a little bit yesterday, taking a couple of called strike threes. I'm like, Bobby didn't swing. Are we sure that's a strike? I mean, back in the day, Derek Jeter used to get all those. Like, if he didn't swing, they didn't call it a strike. I'm kind of in that camp with Bobby Witt right now. If he don't swing, it ain't a strike.
Yeah, it was not only that, but it was, I thought, speaking of loss, I thought Jonathan India looked like he'd never played left field before.
Yeah, well, yeah, there, yeah. I mean, hasn't really.
Yeah, and that was, you know, maybe second base is where he should play. Because if Massey can't hit, then, you know, you have India at second, Michael Garcia at third. Or
India at third and Michael Garcia at second, like they did late in the game yesterday, too.
They're like essentially the same player.
Garcia and India?
Yeah.
They can play the same positions. I think Garcia has a better bat.
Currently, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Better bat. Like, he's more of a home, and this is my impression, he's like more of a home run doubles guy. India's more like a get on, steal second type of guy, more of a slap hitter. I think Michael Garcia is more of a power hitter than Jonathan India is.
Are you upset that we lost Phyllis?
Who?
Phyllis on the text line. NFL draft was all weekend. Chiefs draft picks. Not being able to talk to them is a joke. I think I'll listen to the other station today. Because we're talking about Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick kind of took over the story yesterday. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk Chiefs draft all morning long. Mitch Holthus is going to be in studio. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Binkley on the line talking about NFL draft.
I wonder if he still hates that first pick.
Probably does. Yeah. I would imagine he probably does.
Do you know the NFL draft was this weekend?
It was this weekend.
Do you know George Sanders slipped to the fifth round?
I did. I saw that.
You want to talk about it on the other side?
Yeah, let's do that because I was compelled by that, actually.
Welcome back, Phyllis. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Rolling around on a Monday, rolling along. You roll around too. That's normally Tuesdays. Rolling along on a Monday morning. Rain or no rain, that's the game we play every day moving forward for the next month. Welcome to Fesco and Dusty. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you. NFL draft has completed. It is over. I don't know what you guys are doing Saturday, but I was not locked into the draft.
I was until Shador was picked. I couldn't turn away. I'm not going to lie. I was like captivated by seeing where this guy was going to go. And I think a lot of people were. I felt a lot of people were kind of paying attention to what was going on with Shador Sanders. The NFL's like, thank God he kept falling. People kept paying attention on a day where really nobody watches the draft, you know?
Everybody that drafted before him got their moment ruined because it was like, this kid's going out of UCLA to the whoever NFL team. And Shador Sanders is still there on the clock, and I can't believe it. And finally, I think Reese Davis had enough.
The key, Mel, is not putting a value judgment on whether those who passed right or wrong. They did.
Yep.
So now, whenever you're in circumstances in life, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they're fair or whether they're unfair, you might have to deal with them.
That's right.
And now Shador Sanders has to deal with
everything.
And for whatever reason, whether he played a minute microscopic percentage, 0%, or it's a legitimate criticism of the way he conducted himself during the draft process, this was the result.
Yeah.
Now he has an opportunity to answer it. I think yelling at the NFL about it is not
right. There's not a quarterback Boomer Esiason was not happy when he was the second round pick.
Tom Brady
was not happy.
They dropped. How'd they turn out?
Nobody's arguing that. That can happen.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. Clueless. They have no idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks? They don't.
So that would be the definition, Mr. Fesco, of standing on business for one Mel Kiper. And Reese Davis, I think, said exactly what I feel like we echoed on Friday morning when he didn't go in the first round. It's like, hey, you know, we were still off. I thought he was going to be the first pick in the second round going to Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns were the team that everyone thought was going to draft him with the second pick overall. They ended up taking him in the fifth round. Fortunately or unfortunately, for however you enjoy the draft, whether it's drama, whether it's seeing your team build itself for a new run, whether it's fixing, you know, holes in your, you know, roster with new guys from, you know, that have a high upside. This was, unfortunately for a lot, this was the story Thursday all the way until Sunday morning, until obviously Bill Belichick breaks the CBS Morning News video. But look, I'm with Reese Davis. I was with Reese Davis on Friday morning when it was like, hey, you know, your entire college career, probably your entire junior high, you know, career and your entire life, you've probably been this arrogant, you know, guy, and it showed, and it's been portrayed that way. And you got to the real world and you were passed by very, 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 very many teams. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like it really affected him in a way that like a lot of people may have wanted it to.
Because it seemed like it affected Kuiper more than it did Shador.
Right. And I don't know if that was just because, and that was weird, like the Kuiper situation, because it was like, look, dude, like, yeah, you don't have a life outside of, you know, watching players and being on the draft and all these sort of things. Like, we get that. That's like your, you know, that's your gimmick. You've leaned into it. But to say that the NFL has been getting it wrong for 50 years, so have you. Like, you don't get it right either. You're not the end-all, be-all of the football world. And this is something that, like, is, you know, polarizing, you would hope, for a guy like Shador Sanders from getting prank called, which I still don't think is cool. We'll talk about that as well. I think that's kind of a low blow, whatever, in that moment. I think it's okay to prank call somebody on a Friday night on, like, May 15th, and it's like, hey, is your refrigerator running?
Right.
You know, whatever. But, like, on a draft day, and obviously the other players got affected as well, but, like, getting drafted by Cleveland, probably not your highlight of a team, getting drafted in the fifth round, watching guys that you think that you're, like, miles ahead of get drafted ahead of you, like, maybe this is something that can, like, you know, turn your life around, as, like, you had talked about the other day. Like, is there an athlete that used to be a heel that, like, now you see yourself rooting for? Maybe we're here in 5 years and you're like, you know what? Shador slipped in the fifth round. He's been the starter for Cleveland for 3 years. He's been a Pro Bowler. He's gotten to the playoffs. I'm just spitballing here. Or, you know, we see what we see a lot of times with, like, what is it that you always mention? The prince that bears no clothes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the definition of that. Like, you have spent, you know, here's some flashy
with
stuff.
No clothes.
Yeah. Now you're naked and everybody sees you for who you are. And it's like, not only now are you in the NFL, but like, other people on other rosters know who you are, and they're going to welcome you to the league. And are you going to take all of this and embody it into a, you know, maybe there is a lot of talent there that we haven't really seen yet. And maybe, like, being mature and learning this in a humble route will do that. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for some, this was the entire story of the draft. This was the entire look in from Kuiper to Falling to Sanders to Deion to Travis Hunter to everything. It was all about Shador Sanders. So, in a roundabout way, you kind of got what you wanted, but you also didn't get what you wanted.
Well, the NFL got what they wanted. They wanted Shador getting drafted on round three because it's great for TV ratings. It keeps people involved. It keeps people intrigued. As soon as Shador Sanders was picked, I turned off the TV and went about my day. I wanted to see, you know, where this guy was going to go.
Because that was around, what, like noon on Saturday?
Yeah, about noon. Yeah, right there around that, okay, around that part of time. And so you still had the rest of the day, but the weather this weekend stunk out loud. It was bad. Shador Sanders, humbling sometimes is the best thing that can happen to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And if Shador Sanders didn't get humbled by this entire process, then he's probably going to be a failure in the NFL, right? And I think what we saw here is the teams had a different way of viewing the players than the media does. And we kind of talked about this on Friday. People talk about, oh, all these big boards and all this. It's all put out by media types. It's all put out by people who either work for the NFL Network or ESPN or CBS Sports or whatever. And we all look at these like, these are the way that people are evaluating talent. Well, that's the way the media people are evaluating talent. It doesn't mean that's the way that the NFL people are evaluating talent. And to see the stories that are coming out now about Shador Sanders and the way that he handled the interview processing, my God, Brian Daboll wouldn't even mention the guy when they asked about him. That tells you a lot right there. He's like, I don't even want to talk about him. Their story came out that he was, you know, at meetings and listening to music while he was talking to coaches. You know, that stuff's not going to fly in the NFL. The, you know, partying after the draft, after being picked as a fifth round pick, like he had just arrived on the scene, like that kind of stuff's not going to fly. I think he may be in for a little bit of a rude awakening when he gets to the NFL, that he's been the guy at high school, at college, at Jackson State, at Colorado. He's been the guy basically, you know, that we've talked about from a college standpoint for the last 2 years. He's part of the reason I got back in to college football. But now he's a fifth round draft pick for the Cleveland Browns. He's probably at least, I don't know, third on that depth chart right now when we get to that quarterback room in Cleveland, maybe fourth on that depth chart. So he's going to have to go out there and he's going to have to work it. He's going to have to prove to everybody that he's not this guy that does come in with the baggage. And it's all up to him now, whether or not he achieves success in the NFL. a lot of it is on the coaches, but a lot of it is on him as well to kind of say, all right, I've got a fresh new start. I'm just a guy now. I'm a fifth round draft pick. I'm nobody special. Embrace that and grow and become a great teammate, become a great leader, and in turn become a great quarterback in the NFL. It's all up to him at this point in time. But, you know, watching him slip and watching him fall, and it was very compelling for me. It was something that I thought, man, I'm going to continue to watch this and continue to see how Mel Kiper is going to react. Because I've never seen somebody in any walk of life in the media like that take something so personal like Mel Kiper was doing and then say for 50 years the NFL got it wrong drafting quarterbacks, when in 2017 his top five quarterbacks were, in order, Mitchell Trubisky, DeShone Kizer, DeShone Watson, Luke Falk, whoever the hell that is, and Patrick Mahomes. He had him as the fifth best quarterback. So while he's ripping the NFL for misevaluating quarterbacks, which they do, Mel, there's also a lot of receipts on the way that you've evaluated talent over the years. And if you're going to stick your neck out there, you had better be sure that you had nailed all of these drafts and all of these quarterbacks for the last 30 years that you've been doing the draft stuff, because the 2017 draft would say you're no better, in fact, maybe worse than the NFL teams that were evaluating talent.
Yeah, he was, as they say, glazing Shedeur Sanders.
It was insane. I've never seen anything like it.
It's like he had a prop bet or something. I do think he's better than a fifth-round draft pick, though. I don't know if he's a
I don't know.
Now, I do think that, like,
talent-wise, yes. Full package, maybe not.
Yeah, because, like, that's why Reese Davis was going in so hard on Mel Kiper. It's like, maybe these GMs did see something in interviews. Maybe they did. Maybe these reports that we're getting from anonymous people are anonymous because it's privacy and it's also respectful.
Right.
And two, like, maybe they are right. Maybe he was a complete Richard in their interviews. Like, nah, I don't need to worry about that. I know how to do that. It's like, okay.
Right.
Like, that's not somebody that I want in my war room. That's not somebody that I want to bring in my locker room and be like, hey, guys, this is our leader of the future. Like, you guys want to get behind this? Like, I'm not getting behind that guy. Like, he not a chance. Like, he has no accolades. He has no credentials to let me believe that, you know, this guy can lead a team. Like, he hasn't shown that in college, but he carries it like he, like, you would think that Shedeur coming out of college was two-time bowl winner, you know, well above 500, you know, got his number retired, whatever it is, and all this sort of stuff is, you know, with all the, like, thinking maybe he's coming out of college like he's Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that is true. And he sold himself as that. Well, guess what? These guys know how business works in the NFL. They know when they can see through something. It's like the scene from The Dark Knight when that Mr. Chow guy's on the TV and the Joker's like, I know a squealer.
Right,
and
right.
That's one right there. Like that, you can just... They can see that. They've been through the war rooms. They've been through the draft rooms. They can tell these things. And when these things came out, it was evidently obvious that it wasn't just one team or two teams. It was the entire league
right.
that was doing this. And multiple teams had opportunities. Multiple teams that he was linked to. Pittsburgh, New
Every
Orleans.
Team had five chances to draft this guy, basically, right?
And now the ball's in your court, whether you like it or not. And you can either take this and grow with it, or you can take this and completely crumble. But I will say, because the ratings numbers came out, I would say a lot of the high ratings for the NFL draft had to do with what you just talked about. Like,
yeah.
You of all people are watching the NFL draft. I'm not taking a shot.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, I would assume that you have many other things you could possibly do in your Fesco world other than watching the draft on Saturday.
My wife was captivated by it, too. She wanted to know where Shedeur Sanders was going to go.
And it kept you locked in.
It did, yeah.
Because they had their second highest ratings ever.
Yeah, it did. It kept me locked in because I wanted to see what was going to happen. Now, as soon as he was gone, it was over. But but that's the way sports is. I mean, you give us something compelling, something that matters, some player out there that's polarizing like Shedeur Sanders is, you're going to pay attention to it. And so that was great. And I don't know what he's going to be like in the NFL. I think he's got good talent, but does he have the ability to be an NFL quarterback and to be a leader of a franchise and to be a guy who now has been humbled and can respond from that? Or is he going to be a guy who just doesn't respond for it or worse off either, doesn't understand that he's just been humbled? And that's the biggest problem and concern that I have right now with Shedeur Sanders. Does he realize he's just been humbled by the rest of the NFL? Or is he one of these guys that thinks he just got screwed and he's still better than everybody else? Because the Brian Daboll story and some of the stuff on that, like, they asked him to, you know, break down a play essentially, And he wasn't prepared. He didn't do it. He basically scoffed at them and you know, snubbed them basically, you know, and didn't do what they asked him to do. Like, you can't do that in the NFL, right? You can't just rely on your talent in the NFL. You have to understand how to play the position, where everybody's going to be on the field, how to audible at it. Like, it's a big deal to be a quarterback in the NFL. And if you're not willing to put in that work in the pre-draft stuff, are you willing to put in that extra work when it matters on a Tuesday night when nobody's watching and on a Wednesday afternoon and all this kind of stuff? Are you willing to put in that extra work? And I think by the way that he was drafted and the way that he fell, every single team in this league has major doubts about Shedeur Sanders being the quarterback for their NFL squad.
And ironically, he goes to the Cleveland
Browns. And he goes to the Cleveland Browns, right? Which is like a bad situation in and of itself. And I think everybody could tell by the way that the GM was acting after that pick. Did the owner make that pick? Like, did the owner come in and make that pick for the Cleveland Browns? Because it sure felt that way, looking at the coach and the general manager basically showing no emotion when they announced Shedeur Sanders as the pick for the Cleveland Browns.
Looked like everybody was clapping for a golfer at that point. Mm-hmm. They got a nice shot.
Right.
There are further signs, according to the Awful Announcing article, that the NFL drafted extremely well on television following a first day Thursday average of 13.6 million viewers across ESPN and NFL Network, Saturday being the most, or Friday being the second most watched day two on record, averaging 7.3 million viewers.
Jeez.
on Friday, which was rounds two and three. Now,
right.
Obviously, if you were a Chiefs fan, you were locked in. That's when they kind of made their team.
Right.
Right. Did what they had to do for the future of their franchise. Plus, you had more drama with what we've just been talking about.
Shedeur Sanders still on the second day. Yeah.
But it's interesting because we were talking about, you know, the Masters and the NFL draft. The Masters had an average of 12.7 viewership, 13.6 for the NFL. The Masters peaked at 19.1 when Rory was doing his, final few holes in the playoffs, 19.1. So I think we can say that they're about even when it comes to viewership.
I think if you give somebody a moment, like, what if that moment isn't as big, if it's not Rory, if it's somebody you never heard of, it probably doesn't garner that kind of number, just like the NFL draft doesn't get that kind of number. Shedeur Sanders isn't slipping. People like personalities. They like people they know. They like drama and all that kind of stuff. And Rory doing his thing, winning the Grand Slam, that was compelling, man.
Right.
That was very, very compelling that day. So people were tuned in because there was so much at stake. Just like for the NFL draft. If Shedeur Sanders is taken on the first night, probably not getting to the TV on Friday or Saturday. You just aren't, right? But you're there because you're like, wow, where's this kid going to go and whatnot? And you're kind of intrigued by all of that. I think golf and with the Masters, and it's the Masters too. It's the biggest tournament of the year. It had a great storyline too, a great compelling storyline on the last day. Same with the NFL draft. Great compelling storyline. That's what brings people to the table. Like your NBA stuff. You guys watch that basketball crap. The Lakers down 3-1. That's great. That's going to bring people to the table to see if LeBron can stave off elimination or whatnot.
Second year in a row, he's been down 3-1.
Now, if they end up losing this series, bye-bye NBA ratings. You know, so they got to fix the game to make sure that LeBron and the Lakers, you know, win this series somehow, some way, and move on. Because if they don't, a lot of people are not going to pay attention because LeBron is compelling. You want to see what he's going to do. And as much as everybody says Anthony Edwards is the next face of the NBA, it's still not LeBron James. People aren't going to pay attention. People don't care. They want to see LeBron. LeBron gets bounced in the first round. Bye-bye NBA ratings.
I think you're wrong, but that's okay.
Because the Knicks said people talking yesterday.
A little bit. Celtics Magic was the highest game one. Celtics Magic was the highest game one viewed by far, over 6 million people.
Boston's a big story, though, too.
Yeah,
I mean, the Celtics are a national team,
Knicks,
right?
You've got the Boston Celtics.
Can we
you've
get
got
the
Anthony
Knicks
Edwards.
And Celtics in the NBA finals?
No.
Can we, like, just move the Knicks to the West or something like that?
But can they play in the Eastern Conference finals?
No.
No, they'll play next round.
Next round.
Okay,
yep. And that will be a huge number if both teams are able to stave off elimination or whatever you want to say. I know they're both up 3-1, but still. Like,
will that get the blinds open?
Maybe.
I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no.
Game three in the Garden?
Saying there's a chance.
Which Garden?
Not the TD, the actual Garden.
The actual Garden? Hey. What's the series tied at?
1-1.
Game three?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
In New York, Celtics coming to town.
I watched that one from 5.6 seconds in the first quarter to 1.2 seconds in the first quarter. I gave it a shot.
That's true. Yeah.
Baby steps, right?
I gave it a shot. It's true. Are the Royals playing? Is there a baseball game on anywhere? Literally,
spring training, something.
Spring training rerun or the NBA?
Is that your overreaction this week on a Monday?
No.
Okay.
No. My overreaction on a Monday comes to all the people overreacting over the prank call. Like, I've seen things like, I'm going to take the other side of this. I've seen Spector want the coaches fired. I've seen people want this kid like jailed. Like, was it the right thing to do? No. Is he 21 years old and in college? And have we all done stupid things? Yes. Have we all done things dumber and worse than this? Absolutely. The overreaction to, what's his name, Jax DeVault or something? What's his name? The Butcher? Jax the Baker? Ulbrich, right?
Jeff Ulbrich.
Aaron Rodgers guy from New York,
yes,
right? Yeah, Jeff Ulbrich. He's just been through the Aaron Rodgers situation. His son stole the number, if you will, off the iPad, however it happened. The overreaction to what people want to see happen to this kid and to this father, it's a bit much for me. So my overreaction is actually an underreaction to the overreaction that everybody had to this prank call. Should he have done it? Absolutely not. Should the father be fired because of it? No. But the father should definitely discipline that kid for the way that he behaved and all of that. And I'll tell you, if that was my kid, we'd be having a conversation right about now. But firing the dad because of that, that's just a ridiculous, ridiculous comment by Steven Spector.
I'm not as far away from it as you might think. I mean, if your 21-year-old son is able to, get into the files that easy and you're that irresponsible, then I don't know if I trust you as a defensive coordinator of my team, because that means anybody can get a hold of our information. I mean, if your son and you're just taking a shower and there's a file that says players, numbers of draft, I mean, maybe make it a little bit different, you know, maybe make it,
NFL prospect number list.
Please don't open. Come on now. My overreaction, I think the Royals have the best starting rotation in baseball, at least in the American League. I'll say the American League.
Okay.
But not baseball. I mean,
yeah, that's tough.
That rotation in any rotation in the NL West is good. But no, the Royals, their starting rotation. Lugo looks like, where's that texture? You want Lugo gone? Man had a hose on Saturday night, right? Or Friday night. Reagan's, I think, is going to be fine. Chris Bubich had a rough outing yesterday, but I mean, not every start can he go out there and pitch 7-inning shutout ball. Jordan Alvarez, bigger man of the dish yesterday. But I think that rotation that the Royals have is enough. Now, the bats got to come, right? We got to get that. But look, did exactly what you want to do. They're just fine. The Royals are just fine. They're 14-15. They're 4.5 out of first. They're 1.5 out of a wild card. I know it's only April, but look, the season's in full force. You're almost 30 games in. 29 games in, they went and lost 6 in a row, then they won 6 in a row. Completely, nipped that whole losing streak in the bud, and now all of a sudden you're looking at yourself getting a day off, going into Tampa Bay, take 2 out of 3. Continue to stay above 500, you play 500 ball, and you get that all the way to July, you're going to be just fine. And we're not going to be worried about a Patrick Mahomes throwing passes to, that guy named Royals, and is he wearing 85?
He better be wearing 85, man. That's a marketing opportunity if that Royals kid does not wear 85. I'm excited about him. I can't wait to talk to Binkley about him. I know you're excited about him, too.
Yeah.
That dude can fly,
he's
man.
Fast.
He's going to be great. Everybody said he was the what was the word I'm looking
steal
for?
Steal
of the draft. Yeah, steal he was draft. So underdrafted and whatnot. Like, I'm excited about him and the running back in round 7. Let's go.
What
go,
he, Bink. Utah State, 4.43, 40s. What are you rating?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got some speed. You got some fun. You got. I saw a Debo Samuel comparison to this guy.
I'm okay with that.
little running, little catching, little doing a lot of things. Like, let's go.
Andy Reid salivating.
And wear number 85, please. Dude. You've got to wear 85. You can't wear 15. That's taken. But if you wear 85, let's go, man. You're going to sell a lot of jerseys if that guy's Royals 85, right?
The man was doing some tough work all weekend, Jay Binkley. He wraps up the draft with us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Next, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Well,
diving right back back into it on a Monday here on Fesco and Dusty. Jay Binkley with us just here shortly. Talking all things draft is depending on where you want to see the Chiefs move in the future. They've got their hopefully left tackle of the future. Hopefully they have Chris Jones' replacement. They have a new edge rusher talent, a wide receiver with speed, and a running back in the seventh round. So we'll see what happens. Seems like a shifty guy, the guy at SMU, the running back.
I'm excited about Breshard Smith. I mean, this guy ran, what, the fastest or third fastest 40 of running backs at the combine and can do a lot of cool things out of the backfield. The former wide receiver that can catch you some passes. Kind of that running back that we wanted, the antithesis, if you will, of what Isaiah Pacheco and what Kareem Hunt have been for this team. A guy that can maybe now be that Clyde Edwards-Helaire guy that we thought we were kind of getting on the outside. But I think for a lot of people, and I'm sure Binkley feels this way as well, the Jalen Royals one is probably going to go down as ultimately the steal, if you will, of the draft. If he lives up to what everybody said he was going to be, people had him as a top 60-65 pick, and he went 133rd overall and can flat out run. And when I saw the Deebo Samuel comparison, I know, you know, Mac's pants got a little bit tighter, my pants got a little bit tighter, and I'm sure Jay Binkley's pants got a little bit tighter as well when he saw those comparisons with Jalen Royals being the guy in the fourth round for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so is Jay ready to go rock and roll here with Binkley? All right, let's see. How do we put him up? I don't know how to hit that phone button. But Jay, are you as excited about Jalen Royals as I think a lot of us are?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you get your guy. I mean, Brett Beach takes these guys, these hand-picked receivers, and he says, you're the guy, and Jalen Royals is the guy. Very, very glad they went that direction.
Why?
Well, first of all, they needed a receiver. Two, it kind of fits the bill of what they needed. Beach was talking about receivers that are good in the return game, or running backs as well that are good in the return game. But Jalen Royals is going to be perfect for this wide receiver room with Worthy and in Hollywood and with Rashee Rice. And then I know Juju's still here, but you want this guy to be ahead of Juju on the depth chart.
Yeah, so who's your favorite pick in this whole draft, Binkley?
My favorite draft pick is Noel Williams. That was the third round pick out of Cal, the cornerback. This guy's freaking crazy. He comes up, he hits you, playing the cornerback. He's a perfect Spagnuolo guy. He's over 6 foot, led the nation in interceptions last year with 7, had 14 picks in his career. He's a transfer to Cal. And the thing I like about him is just how much he I know it's one of those cliches, like likes football and all this, but he truly like does. We had his head coach on, Kevin Wilcox from Cal, that joined us this week and talk about, you know, first guy there, always liking football. And his head coach made a great comparison, said there's two categories of football players, those that want to be football players or like being a football player, and those that want to be football players. And he says he's on the opposite. He wants to be a football player because a lot of guys just like, you know, the stardom and fame and everything that comes with being a football player. He likes to play the game of football, which I think was interesting. But he's a hard hitter, and also, let's not forget, he picked off Cam Ward. When Cal played Miami this year, he got an interception off the number one pick in the draft.
When you look at this draft, what do you grade-wise, what do you give the Kansas City Chiefs and Brett Veach?
I mean, at this point, I mean, day two and day three were home runs. I mean, you'd have to go, you know, B+, see how Simmons works out. If Simmons works out today, if he doesn't, it goes clearly down. Draft day grades are always comical to me because when the Chiefs drafted Mahomes, C pluses, it was wait and see. So I love day two and day three. I'd say B+.
Yeah, I think that's a fair grade. I know everybody wants those grades right away. I always like looking back at the grades and see what people did. I went back and looked at 22 because that's 3 years ago. You can kind of get a feeling, you know, on that after about 3 years. Everybody in 22 gave the Chiefs an A coming out of that draft, which obviously
they loved that draft. They did. And they were right.
Yeah, they were right. I mean, that's one where you look at it, you go, yeah, they nailed that one with the grade, right away. Breshard Smith, the running back out of SMU, one of the faster running backs out there, Jay, he kind of fits that mold of maybe returning kicks, maybe being that guy that you can look at in the passing game as well. Like, I think that's a sneaky good pick coming in the seventh round.
Well, a couple of things Andy Reid really likes. They talked about, you know, the returnability in both these Jalen Royals at wide receiver and Breshard Smith at running back return kicks. And Breshard Smith is a crazy good receiver. Matter of fact, he was a receiver. He was a receiver at the University of Miami. And then he transferred to SMU and became a running back. So he has both in his background, where he was a wide receiver and a running back, relatively few miles, few hits taken as a running back. Was that this year for SMU? And had some decent games, was decent in the playoff game, a reliable guy that SMU had in the college football playoffs. But he catches the ball, runs the ball extremely well, but he can return as well. It kind of reminds me of, you know, guys in the past. You've heard the name Jet McKinnon thrown a lot around with Rashard Smith. But, yeah, and the Chiefs made that move up with the Patriots. And how about the Patriots, man? The Patriots and Chiefs continue to trade each other. It happens every year. They helped them a lot with that McDuffie deal. They traded them twice this year. When Belichick was there, there was the old rumor that he and Andy Reid like to trade picks every year, because one year Reid and Belichick actually swapped picks in the sixth round, I think back in 2009 or 11 when Reid was with the Eagles, just for fun. They swapped sixth-round picks. So the Patriots are always – say what you want about that team, but they're always trading the Chiefs.
Beagley, are there some names that, like – because I'm going to be honest with you, like – I didn't recognize any of the names the Chiefs drafted. Like, who's a guy that in 2 years or 3 years from now, like, it'll be a name that everybody knows in Kansas City?
I think Ashton Gelati, you can get to know that name. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about him is he led college football in pressures. Maybe he didn't get to the quarterback as much as people wanted, but he's incredible with that. The shorter arms and things like that, but he's defensive on the defensive side. But the one thing about him is he can play inside or outside. Like, he can be on the edge to rush the quarterback where he'll probably be, or in the middle. We brought his head coach on this weekend as well, Jeff Brohm from Louisville. And the interesting thing about Jeff Brohm is he was the head coach of George Karloftis back at Purdue, and then he's the head coach of Ashton Gelati at Louisville. And Ashton brought that up, the fact that he had George Karloftis' number, and George Karloftis, you know, critiqued him on several things, told him what he did right and told him what he did wrong. And they're very similar style of players. So they basically got another guy that plays the game a lot like Karloftis, same head coach in college. And it was a great interview. Brohm came on and talked about the similarities between the two players. But he plays inside, can play the three technique, can play on the outside as well. But here's a name you're going to get to know. But it's interesting when you look back at these draft picks, you think, okay, why? Like, you look, Chiefs don't just throw darts. I mean, there is a why and a method to the madness sometimes with these draft picks. Like Omar Norman Lott, Max guy, that goes in the second round to the Chiefs. A lot of people say, he's a rotational player, not a starter, because they'll read the press clipping and say, this guy's not even a starter. Well, that's what Tennessee did. They did a rotation on defensive line. Dane Brugler absolutely loved this guy. He had him like as his fourth best defensive lineman in the draft. Had the highest win rate in college football, win pressure rates in college football. Out of his 129 pass rush snaps, like 27 of them, he got to the quarterback. This guy is going to be one of those guys that'll be during the game. It'll have that just timely sack, like a Mike Dana type sack. And you go, whoa, they're getting pressure from the interior. But you understand the why. It's because of that. It's because Ashton Gelati led college football in pressures last year. It's why Noel Williams led college football in interceptions this past year and 14 in his career. Like, all these guys had some kind of trait, and you say, all right, this is why the Chiefs got them. They're all high character guys too.
Jay, what did you think of the Shedeur Sanders slide?
That was definitely the topic of the draft. I wish him well in Cleveland. Cleveland did some bizarre things. I'm really surprised they drafted Dillon Gabriel before Shedeur Sanders, because Shedeur Sanders is a better quarterback than Dillon Gabriel, but they drafted both of them. So the question is, which guy gets their name on the back of that mannequin they have in downtown Cleveland? It's all to get all the failed quarterbacks through the years. I think Shedeur can actually start for the Cleveland Browns this year, but I was very surprised that a first-round pick slid all the way to the fifth round. That was a bit crazy. We saw a lot of quarterback slides. Quinn Ewers, you name it. We saw a lot of quarterback slides, but I was very surprised in Shedeur sliding like that.
Yeah, all the way down to the fifth round, and he's got Joe Flacco, Dillon Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, and Deshaun Watson, allegedly.
He can start there, man. It's like a place he could maybe go to Cleveland to start this year. And how much is Cleveland kicking themselves that they traded out of the number two spot where they could have had Travis Hunter with Shedeur Sanders?
Well, who knows what Cleveland does? I mean, they're just, you know, ridiculous from top to bottom when it comes to everything they do as an organization.
They're dumb. They got all these other picks for trading out of Travis Hunter. People are like, oh, look at all the picks Cleveland got. Well, that's fine if you have picks, but you got to do something with them. I mean, here's Cleveland. They drafted Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. They drafted Dylan Sampson, the running back, and Kinshawn Judkins. So two running backs and two quarterbacks going high for this team. They waste picks all the time.
Well, how much of that pick, though, of Shedeur Sanders was made by the owner versus made by the brass? Because the brass did not look excited about that pick at all.
Who knows? I mean, obviously, the owner is the end-all, be-all when it comes to things and comes to selections being made. But, you know, you got to get past this. I mean, you know, the NFL is a humbling experience. Mm-hmm. You know, guys learn from their experience. So maybe you take this all in and it humbles them down a little bit. But all these guys have egos and everything. And it's, this one was kind of overblown.
All right, Jay. Well, we appreciate the time and get some sleep. Now the draft's over. You got a couple weeks till the schedule release, May 14th. And then you'll
We got a 3-hour show tonight, NFL draft special.
Okay.
We're still rolling,
still
baby.
Rolling. Still drafting and still, hey, Mach 1.0 better come out for 2026, man.
You never know.
All right, dude. Well, hey, get some rest and we'll talk to you tonight.
All right, fellas.
Jay Binkley, Mach special number 6.
Do you think you'll have his Mach for OS 26 out today?
He said you never know, Dust, man.
Got to have your Mach out. Got to get your Mach out. Who's the number one pick? Arch Manning, gotta be, right? There it is. The media has said so for the entire year now. Arch Manning will be that number one pick in the draft. Whether he plays like the number one pick or not, everybody will tell you he's the number one pick.
Just like Quinn Ewers this year.
That's right.
Dude, that guy.
Quinn Ewers could have made more money going back to college than going into the draft.
Should have listened to Carson Beck.
Oof.
I mean, seriously, Quinn Ewers' rookie contract is $4 million and change for 4 years. He was going to make $4 million in one more year at college.
He got drafted by Miami?
I think so.
Is the Dolphins that got him? Yeah. So he kind of did the Carson Beck thing.
That's true.
Making the same amount of money playing in the same town. Neither one have a Cavender twin. But no, that was Jay Binkley. Appreciating his time on here. And as all NFL interviews related to the draft brought to you by Powell Exteriors, J&M Displays, and the Salvation Army. 63rd pick is a very successful pick in Kansas City history. We'll tell you why it makes sense. And it was a name Binkley brought up on the other side, a.k.a. Max Guy. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.